Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. What a blessing it has been just being in the house of the Lord already. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, we've been studying the life of Elijah on Wednesday nights. And what a powerful servant of the Lord Elijah was. And we see Elijah not only in the Old Testament, but he's mentioned quite a bit in the New Testament. I believe that he's going to be one that comes back during the tribulation period as one of the two witnesses, and talks about in the book of Revelation. And so just a tremendous servant of the Lord. And God's given us much information about Elijah. But as we studied here in 1 Kings, we've seen just exactly how Elijah come on the scene. And we know that he stood before King Ahab and pronounced the judgment of God. There were going to be no rain nor dew on the ground. And it had been 3.5 years. Elijah comes back. He addresses Ahab and God's timing. And now he presented God's test before Elijah, before the people of Israel, and the prophets of Baal against Elijah. And so the contest was taking place. The prophets of Baal had the altar, their altar, and with the bullock on the altar, and they were supposed to start the fire. And so we find, that's what we studied last week, is after the prophets of Baal failed for 6 hours, they're crying out to their god, Baal, leaping on the altar, and even self-mutilation. All of this is connected to evil spirits, evil workings, and we studied some about that last Wednesday night. Well, after all that, there was no answer. And so then we find that Elijah comes, and he comes to the children of Israel, and he presents the message of God to the children of Israel with an invitation for them to come back to the Lord. And what a blessing it is to see this invitation and how this kind of what Elijah does to get the people of Israel ready to come back unto the Lord. And so that's what we'll be studying tonight. 1 Kings chapter 18, if you'll stand with me, we're going to start reading in verse 30, read down to verse 41. Read down to verse 41. So starting with verse 30 of 1 Kings chapter 18. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, it is a blessing to be able to assemble ourselves together in your name, because we know that as we have done that, that you're here in the midst with us. And thank you for each one that had a desire to be in church tonight and took advantage of their opportunity to be here. And I just pray, God, for each one, even now, that you would give each one that ear to hear exactly what you have for them tonight. I pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, it had been several years since the nation of Israel had started turning away from worshiping God and now have been influenced by Baal worship. It started with Ahab and Jezebel, and Jezebel came on the scene, and that was her religion. That's how she was raised. That's what she believed, that Baal was God. And now she has influenced Ahab, which was an evil king, a wicked king. Didn't take a whole lot to get him to side with her to start changing the direction of the nation of Israel. But Israel, the nation of Israel, are the children of God, and God had a purpose and a plan for them. But he allowed them to, and he continues today, allows mankind to have a free will. And so they had drifted quite a ways away from the Lord God. And that's when God sent Elijah, the prophet of God, to represent the message that God had for the nation of Israel. So all this was all about God working to give Israel an opportunity to return to him. And they would do that of their own free will, but he would direct them, and he would make opportunities for them to turn back to him. So the children of Israel would have been confused at this point, because now they had slowly but surely believed that Baal was God. Now they were turning to Baal. And so we don't know exactly all that went on. We don't know what kind of black magic. We don't know what kind of power Satan was able to work through the prophets of Baal, through Jezebel, and all that was taking place. But the nation of Israel had stopped using the altars of God. They stopped using the communication that God had set up for them through the altars and the priests and all the different sacrifices as they would worship unto God. And so we find that they had slowly but surely turned away from that. And they had started giving their faith and their allegiance to Baal. Now, this was somewhat across the land of Israel. Well, we find here that now that Elijah has come and he said, if Baal be God, then worship Baal. But if God be God, then worship God. That was a challenge. And they had all expectations for Baal to win the challenge, because that's who they were turning to. Somehow they were convinced that their changing over to Baal was better for them. Turning away from the Bible, turning away from God himself, and following after the religions or the philosophies of the day. They thought that would be better. So somehow they had believed that Baal, they would not have accepted the challenge if they had not believed that. We know the prophets of Baal believed that. And the children of Israel, they were waiting for this fire to come down and for Baal to answer the prayers of the prophets. It didn't happen. Even though they mutilated themselves and did all this, jumping and crying out and leaping and all the different things. They put on a show for some 6 hours. Nothing. So the children of Israel would have been confused. Either Baal is not God, or what was asked was an impossibility. Well, maybe they just asked too much. No God could do that. That's where they're at. And then Elijah says, come back to the Lord. Let me help you to know what needs to be done to be able to be reconciled with God. In verse 30, he says this. He says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So the first thing that Elijah does in order to help the people to realize that God is God, He is the one to be worshiped. The first thing that he does, he addresses the altar of the Lord because it had been broken down. It had been abandoned. Hadn't been used. The altar represented communion with God. There had been no communication with God. The people had turned their backs on God, and they had turned their attention to Baal and Baal worship. They established the altars for Baal, which, as we study that, is one of the most satanic types of religions. They would have been taught that they had to give human sacrifices. And they had been taught that there was times when and Baal was needed to be appeased, that they might even have to sacrifice their own children to Baal worship. That means that they would have to have enough faith in Baal was God that they would take their own child and allow their own children to be a blood sacrifice on the altar to get Baal's attention. So human sacrifices, that's what one of the things. And then they were very ungodly and immoral type of a worship because it was it was a religion that focused on fleshly appetites. And you can do whatever you want to do and follow after the lust of the flesh. And it was promoted. And a lot of times their types of worship would have been very sexually oriented. And so we find here that that's what was taking place. And so the nation of Israel had slowly but surely turned away from God and the worship of God, and the altars were abandoned. And now they had been given themselves to this type of worship. So when Elijah comes on the scene, and after he reveals to them that there's no power in Baal, he can't even light the fire to consume the sacrifice on the altar. So the altar represented communion with God. Since there had been none, and since the people had turned away from the worship of God, we find that Elijah wanted to get the people to realize, this is what you turned away from. And this is what you need to turn back to. Gradually departing from the things of God and starting to gradually accept the things of the world. That's been something that humanity's done from day one. If you look at, we just went through a study on Noah, and we've seen what took place with the mentality of humanity when they stopped calling on the Lord. Romans in chapter 6, because what I want you to see tonight is that this has been something that Satan has used from the very beginning of time. And as we get into the last times, it will be something that he is using today with the Antichrist type of movement. In order to have an Antichrist movement, you've got to turn away from Christ. Because that's what it is. It's anti the teachings of Christ. It's not anti-religion. You've heard me say that, especially here recently, because it's something that we have to get in our hearts and our minds to understand the spiritual battles that this nation is facing today. And so we find here in Romans in chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." When they stopped yielding to the influence of God and stopped communicating with God in the ways that God had given to them to communicate with them, then they would no longer continue to worship God. And so what they were doing, they were slowly but surely replacing this influence of God by an influence of a false god. And this influence of a false god, because, well, this is what the government now is promoting. because Ahab was a weak leader of Israel. And he married Jezebel, who had the more influence on him than he had on her. And she was establishing as the state religion of Israel now, no longer would be the God of heaven, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but she was replacing that worship and that religion with the God of Baal. It didn't take place overnight. It took a gradual influence of Baal worship. But it had to start by turning away from the worship of the God of Israel. Amen. Okay, so we see what's going on here. So now Elijah comes on the scene. He challenges them. They agree to the challenge. They realize now that, wait a minute, Baal was not able to do what we've asked him to do. No matter how much they jumped up and down, no matter how much they cut themselves, no matter what they did, the power of Baal failed. And so now he's presenting them back to the power of God. Verse 31 to verse 32, the next thing he does, after he addresses the altar of the Lord, then he addresses 12 stones. Verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And so now we find that he turns to 12 stones, which would have reminded them of when they first went into the promised land. They had these 12 stones that they were to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, that they were to represent what God had did for them. Elijah wanted to remind them of who they were. Satan will blind us to our Christian heritage if allowed. Decisions that we've made to serve the Lord in the past, he'll blind you to those if you'll let him. He'll blind you to the fact, if you're saved, that you are saved. And what will happen is he's got to blind you to the reality of Jesus Christ and the truth in there only being one true God in order to introduce another direction in life for you to go. Elijah knew that, and of course Elijah was going after the direction that God had gave him. He was helping Israel to come back to God by God's design plan. And can I tell you, once a person has turned away from God, there has been blinders put on them. And until the blinders are removed, they will not return. And if they're saved, then God is going to, through chastisement, and God is going to work through conviction to help take the blinders off, to help them to turn to that which they know to be reality, to know to be truth. The harder, the longer you stay away from God, the harder it is for God to get you to return to Him. And only God knows if you have gone beyond the point of no return. And if you go beyond the point of no return, then that's when you're in danger of losing your life here on this earth, if you're saved. Because God will not allow a saved individual to continue to live a life of sin indefinitely. His purpose for you on this world, on this present earth, is to glorify Him. Israel's purpose on this world was to represent God, an almighty creator God, to the world, and they were not doing that at this particular time. And so Elijah wants to take them back to their roots, 12 tribes of Israel. Wanted to help them to remember who they were, how they got to where they're at. Verse 35 through 33, we read here, and he has them fill 4 barrels of water and pour it over the altar. Elijah made the task even harder. because the people are thinking, well, either Baal is not God or we've asked too much of him. Well, Elijah wanted to set their minds at ease. If you ask too much of Baal, let me show you something we can do. Let's douse all this with 4 barrels of water to make it were almost impossible. And it would have been impossible for them to have lit a fire there. But did you realize, did you see something? He had them do it 3 times. 3 times 4 is what? 12. 1 barrel for each of the tribes of Israel. Because he wants them to understand that God is doing it for all of Israel. God has a love for Israel. In the Old Testament, this is, they were God's children. They represented God on earth. And so he wanted them to understand that he is, not only did he want the stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, what he was having Elijah do to make it more difficult would affect all 12 tribes of Israel. And Elijah wanted them to do this because Elijah knew of God's abilities. And the nation of Israel needed to get back to that understanding that with God, there's nothing impossible. If we have a true God, and if he is the God that he says that he is, if he is the creator of all things, listen to me, nothing is impossible with God. I have that. That's what, how God wants me to live my life with, in my faith, believing in Jesus Christ, in my faith in Christianity, is I believe that we serve a God that can do all things. And there's nothing impossible with God. Even though it was Elijah, one servant against 450 of the prophets of Baal and another 400 that sat around Jezebel's table. You and God are a majority. You have all these prophets of Baal and all of them cutting themselves and jumping up and down, and all these prophets of Baal trying to get this fire lit. And now we look to Elijah. He's just one man. What's the difference? He represents the true Almighty God. And if you're saved here tonight, no matter what you might think, the opposition, you and God are a majority. If God be with us, who can be against us? And the truth of that statement is, it doesn't matter who's against you, as long as you can have the faith in knowing that God is on your side. Praise the Lord for that. Ephesians in chapter 3. Ephesians in chapter 3. Ephesians in chapter 3. Look at verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Now, I wish you could read the whole chapter there because it has so much good there, but that one verse spells it out for us. God can do more than what you could even think he could do, no matter what you think he could do. He can go way beyond whatever your wildest thoughts are as far as what God can do. He can do much more. And the very same God that has the power to do all things, he sends his Spirit to live and dwell within you. Which would lead Paul to say, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Amen. That's how... If you have faith in God, if you're living by the Christian faith that God has given to us, you can have that very same assurance, and that assurance gives us confidence, and that confidence gives us boldness, and that boldness allows us to be the light that Marcos was talking about just a few minutes ago. Whether it's in the United States of America, or whether it's in Peru, or whether it's anywhere around the world, listen to me, our God is able. I can accomplish whatever God wants me to accomplish. not because of who I am, but because of who he is. And I can have that kind of faith, that belief in that God. It's just been revealed to them, Baal does not have that kind of power. And no other God does either, because all other so-called small letter G gods are linked to Satan himself, and Satan is a created creature. Has it having limitations. And God has no limitations. So Elijah says, pour water on it. You think it was too hard for Baal? Maybe he was asking something too hard for a true God to do? Pour water on it. Not just one barrel, but 12 barrels. Have it so that it's nothing there but water. Can you set water on fire? Go back with me, verse 36 and verse 37. Amen. You following with me tonight? This is good. I love the study on Elijah. Elijah is a powerful prophet of God, and what he's doing is something that God has recorded for us to learn from today, because it's the same God that we serve today. So now that he has that done, Elijah, I guarantee you, does not mutilate himself. Nor does he feel like he has to get God's attention by jumping up and down on the altar. Now listen to me. Every now and then I feel like shouting, and I feel like jumping up and down, just whoo, excited about what God's doing. But listen to me, I don't have to do that to get God's attention. Amen. I have his attention. He dwells within me. So we find here Elijah, after what knowing what they've just witnessed, he just prays. Elijah's prayer. And it came to pass at the time of the offering, verse 36, at the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet, to let everything get good and saturated with the water, came near and said, in front of the people, he wanted to pray because he wanted the people to hear what he was praying. And he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, 12 tribes, taking them back to the roots, same God, who done some amazing things for Abraham and Isaac, and he's done the same things for Israel or Jacob. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Now, the first thing that he wants to pray, and he wants them to hear him pray, is God to glorify himself. Thou art God. One of the things that we ought to desire more than anything else in our Christianity and our Christian life is that God be glorified. Yeah. That's what's most important. That's why I'm here. God saved me and allowed me to stay on this earth so that I would represent him, and representing him, that I would live a life that is pleasing unto him, that glorifies the name of God. No other purpose. There's a lot of other benefits of living the Christian life, and there's a lot of things that we find enjoyment in, with a lot of things that we have pleasure in. But listen to me, we are left here. Nothing that we have in this life can compare to the pleasures and to the glory and to the good times we're going to have in heaven. Nothing can compare to that. But we do have things that God wants us to enjoy, and we have things that we can rejoice over. But the purpose for us being here with the understanding of who God is that we might glorify him. Amen. And by glorifying him, it draws people to him. People are drawn away from false religions. They are drawn away from Baal to see the evidence of a true God. And God wants us to represent him today so that he might be glorified. So what Elijah here is doing, he says, I want you to understand that what we're doing right now and everything that God is doing is that he would glorify himself. Goes on, he says, the next part of his prayer. And that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Elijah said, the last thing I want to do is exalt myself. I want God to be glorified and understand, and you to understand that I'm just serving him. I have a privilege of serving him. And I thank God that he allows me to serve him. But by no means do I want to receive any glory myself. Amen. That was Old Testament. But that is exactly the teachings of Jesus Christ for Christianity. Amen. Glory, whatever I do, I don't want to do it to get self-recognition. I want to do it to be able to glorify the Lord. And I'm not going to take credit for anything that God does. I'm going to give him the praise. I'm going to give him the glory because he's God. Find somebody that's trying to always exalt themselves. It's not somebody that God's working through. Because that does not represent a true servant of the Lord. Amen. The third thing he prays, verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. God is working through this to turn the hearts of his people back to him. You know what that means? What we can get from that? God wanted them back. God does not give up on his own. God's going to continue to work in ways to help his children to, of their own free will, choose God. Choose the ways of God. Because God wants you back. And only God knows whether you will come back or not. If a person still has that physical life here, there's still hope for them to come back. If they ever knew God, if they're truly saved and they still have life, air in their lungs, there's still hope that they will come back to the Lord. And can I tell you, God wants them back. God wants them back. No matter what they've done, God still loves them. That's that loving the unlovable, forgiving the unforgivable. Because God looks through what they've done, and he looks to an eternal soul that Jesus Christ can wash and make white as snow. Can take that sin, no matter what the sin was, because that's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It can take that sin, and it can wash it all away. And restore them in a relationship with God as being justified, as being redeemed, as walking in fellowship with him again. Wow, that's powerful stuff right there. God still loves them and desires to show his grace. That's the love and kindness of God. And it's amazing grace. It goes beyond human comprehension, the powerful grace of God and his mercy. Withholding of deserved punishment. Do they deserve? But yes, they deserve punishment. And listen to me, in this physical life, they need to pay the debt of their sin. They might have to go to prison for the rest of their life over what they've done. But even in prison, they can be a child of God, doing the work of God as God wants them to do, even in prison. Right. If their heart is made right with God, if they truly confess and forsaken their sin, listen to me, they can be as white as snow in a prison. Can. Yeah. The Bible says the Lord is long-suffering. 2 Peter 3:9, He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. It's not willing. It's not God's will that they die and go to devil's hell. It's God's will that they get saved. It's not God's will that He would have to take anybody off of this earth that is saved because they're not serving. It's God's will is that you turn back to Him while you have opportunity to accomplish what God has you here to accomplish. Not willing that any should perish, but should all come to repentance. I love that. Well, go back with me. We're having to close here. We're coming to the end of it. Elijah. That's his prayer. That was his prayer. Glorify God, not to have any self-exaltation, and to help the people to know God wants you back. No matter to that family that believed in Baal, to the place that they actually allowed their own child, a human sacrifice to Baal. God says, I still love you. I still want you back. Once you come back, you might have to live with the scars of what you did, but you can still walk with God. He can help you to overcome whatever it was in your past life. Yeah. Verse 38 and verse 39. Then the fire of the Lord fell. God's answering his prayer. God does his part. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now the people just seen where Baal couldn't even strike a match, and now they see just a sample, just a small sample of the power of God. And they remember. This is the God that delivered us out of Egyptian bondage. This is the God that parted the Red Sea. This is the God that parted the Jordan River. Amen. It's all coming back to them now. Because now they realize this is God, and God is being restored in their thoughts and their hearts. And what happens? What takes place when that happens? And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And you finally realize you've been blinded. You've been led astray. But God still loves you. And God wants you back. They humbled themselves. They humbled themselves. That's what will happen. True repentance will not only have a sorrow for what we have done, a sorrow for what kind of lifestyle we have lived, and something within us that says, I don't ever want to go back there. But a humble spirit before an almighty God, realizing I don't deserve your love, I don't deserve your grace, and I don't deserve your mercy, but I am so thankful that you give it. Yeah. They humble themselves in the sight of almighty God. And lastly, what comes when that truly happens to an individual, an act of obedience to reveal evidence of true repentance. God will ask you to do something as an act of obedience to reveal true repentance. Look at verse 40. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. They took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. Now, I know some are feeling sorry for the prophets of Baal. Do they really have to be killed? Now, understand, this is Old Testament times, but these are the same prophets of Baal that led the children of Israel to sacrifice their own children. They committed horrendous things. They did not have any love of God. They didn't have no recognition of God. And so God is telling them, and what we need to learn as help from this passage of Scripture, as biblical principle, get rid of hindrances that keep you from serving God. If you truly are repentant and you want to have a relationship with God, and you're humbling before Him, so thankful that God loved you and He's given you grace and mercy, then if it's genuine, an act of obedience, get rid of anything that has hindered you from being the servant that God wants you to be to Him. If that's hindering your walk with God, be willing to say, if that's hindering my walk with God, I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to turn away from alcohol. I'm not going to have anything to do with any alcohol. I'm going to turn away from that internet site. I'm going to turn away from associating with those types of individuals. I'm going to stop going to those places. I'm going to change my life. I am going to be obedient to God, and I'm going to get rid of those things that will hinder me from walking closer to God. That's an act of obedience that helps us to understand that there has been true repentance. We don't have that. Is it really true repentance? Colossians in chapter 3. I've got to read this to you real quick here. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections and things on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 5, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, those things that has taken you away from a walk with God. That word mortify means to destroy the very vital function of, get rid of it. What is that? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, which is lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Those types of things is what Satan is using to pull you away from God, to get you to follow a different direction. And if you truly want to come home to the Lord, to receive, accept the invitation that God has given to come home, you'll say, I'm going to get rid of anything and everything that will hinder me from drawing as close to God as I can draw. And then what he told him, verse 41, once they did it, he said, look forward to the future blessings and joy. The rain's coming. Once all that's taken place, if you truly do turn back to God and you get your heart right and you're ready to do things the way God wants you to do things, listen to me, there is future blessings in store for you. And Elijah says, if you truly mean that, if you've done that, get ready, for the rain's coming. The rain's coming. And we'll pick this up next week. But the idea is Elijah is used by God to help the people know God wants you back. Turn back to an almighty creator God. In fact, they've every head bowed and every eye closed. Not going to have a musical invitation tonight. Very seldom do we on Wednesday nights, but there's always an opportunity to respond. If God spoke to you tonight, if there's something that you need to bring to this altar, then you need to bring to this altar. If there's something in our lives that's a hindrance to us going forward with God and our walk with God, listen to me, it's not worth it. It'll eventually take you completely away from communicating with God. And when we stop having any communications with God, you don't have the blessings of God. And the direction you're going is not going to lead you down the right path. You're going to experience things that afterwards you're going to be very remorseful and wish you could change. But once it's happened, it's too late to change it. God says, I love you. Come back. Come back. Anyone else need to come tonight? Father, we do bow before you. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for the precious word that you have preserved for us, especially as we've been studying this life of Elijah, and so many powerful illustrations for us to gain from, but none any greater than what we've just studied tonight. To see the belief in Baal, to understand that he has no power that can compare with the strength and the power of God, to think that we are going in that direction when we have a God that we can serve who's able to do all things. Pray that we would come home tonight if we're not there. If there is things in our lives that's hindering us from walking with you, I pray that we'd be willing to get rid of it. Pray that you'd just bless now as we get ready to leave here tonight. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.